Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about electron paramagnetic resonance, also known as electron spin resonance for some reason. And having looked at this area, I've sort of had put it aside and thought, oh, look, the major interest is nuclear spin resonance. So the nucleus and electrons are also newsflash magnets, and as magnets they have an energy perturbation and magnetic field. And nuclear magnetic resonance, NMR as it used to be called, until I realised that people said, look, we're going to send you upstairs for an NMR. People go, what? I'm not having that. So they called it magnetic resonance imaging, MRI. That's just aside from MRIs are for the nucleus, and EPR and paramagnetic resonance is for electrons. Now, electrons are fundamental particles, there is actually no mechanism in them, and so therefore you are the last thing that you can write down is the equation. You can't draw a diagram of what's inside an electron. You can only write an equation. Sorry about that. Because it's an equation, you can't write a diagram. There's no parts. You're given what the magnetic moment of an electron is. It would be the same thing for a proton, except the proton has... or a neutron. The proton and the neutron have quarks. The quarks go in this sort of funny way. It takes a supercomputer to work out what's going on, but it has a magnetic moment. So they both are little magnets. Now, of course, they're a weaker magnet. The effect is weaker, and so you need a lower energy to put them between two states. It's sort of a bit hard to understand. So EPR is the same sort of deal that I have quantized, and I do mean quantized magnetic state. It can either be north facing with the field or north against the field, and it can be quantized between the two states. And there's things that I'm really struggling with myself to details I'm trying to get, where I can follow some equations in one direction and follow them in the other, and then I've got this fundamental thing. And let me say what the problem is. You have this thing of a angular momentum and a force, and you add it together and you get angle from your spin pole to the magnetic or gravitationally aligned pole. So on Earth, that's the tilt of our axis. Our axis is tilted, and we're a gyroscope going at an angle. There's actually no reason, nothing quantized holding us up there, but we're going around, and our stuff is processing. And I don't quite understand how is it processing. Is it processing with general relativity? I'm not quite sure. I don't think so. I think it just naturally processes. I don't know what field it is in to get the force to do it. And as it processes, it mutates. So if I've got a gyroscope and it's rotating at an angle to the field, it's as if it's been held at the angle by a spring. So if I push it, it will wobble either side of that spring, and that wobbling is called mutation. So one of the things that I've been looking at is maybe quantize, is there such a thing as electron mutation? You know, yeah, what stage does, how realistic, you know, what time stage does big world physics break down? And we've only got little world physics, which is like like a physics light. Things are missing from, and the electron, the NMR is that because the neutrons, or the protons in your sample are pretty well isolated from the surrounding, it's spinning there, it's sort of got a general, it's really so small it can't feel what's around it, it's not very well coupled, so you can actually over a reasonable time period send a signal to your protons inside your skull or your tissue, say just have a check around here, just have a look around your local area, I'll be back in a while, and then you do this mathematical transformation to them, and then they come back and they report what's around them. And this is your ideal thing in terms of the MRI are pretty amazing in terms of that the actual, your brain is the, your brain tissue is actually broadcasting information. That is, it's not a power source going through and going to the other side. The power source goes in, your brain is acting as a sort of a little laptop battery, storing the information, and then normally the information would be lost, but it can then go align itself. So normally it disaligns, and then when it's disaligned, it stores the energy because it's no longer, it's got to be take the energy out in a coherent pulse. So it stores it, turns into an antenna again, comes out. But in the meantime, it's been checking out the regional area. So you're actually getting your own brain to sample itself and report itself. It's pretty amazing stuff to come out. And a lot of that works from the fact that the stuff isn't strongly coupled to its surrounding. It's not strongly coupled in terms of it can do a few rotations before it goes across. This is not true for electrons. They're obviously strongly coupled enough to bond everything together. So I was a bit, I was wondering what EPS was. I sort of read about it, and then I read a New Scientist article which said, oh, look, we can now date human samples, bones and stuff like that directly from the EPR. I'm going, that's insane, because my MRI would only work if it lasted a fraction of a millisecond inside your head. Now I've got this something which is overly, would be a microsecond, nanosecond discombobulating stuff, and you are saying it can date something over millions of years. It took me a while to work it out. And so EPR I don't know why they say paramagnetic, because it has to be paramagnetic. As if there's EDR, electron diamagnetic stuff. I don't know. It could be. Obviously not ferromagnetic. So ferromagnetic is where the actual electron interaction influences its neighbors to create a domain. It's got enough magnetic field to get all the magnetic fields pointing up, and if you can freeze it, you've got yourself a bar magnet. So EPR. So let's. Going, so it's something to do with samples, some dating, and a bit of a spoiler alert. I had been at Adelaide University, and they were grinding up Thai pottery and grinding it together and putting it in an oven and watching it fluoresce. And this is the crystals in it. If the amount of radiation, it's sort of like, you know how you get your glow-in-the-dark watch you expose it to radiation. So what it creates is, or UV light, the UV light goes in and creates electron hole pairs, and those electron hole pairs come out and it fluoresces. So it's basically glow in the dark. It's like really poor quality glow in the dark. So it's stored from years and years exposure to the light, and you can do this by heating it up. And that allows you to date how bright pottery is. And I suppose it's of interest. And so the actual glow is not, it could be sunlight, but these things are buried. It would be It would be cosmic rays or nuclear material being leached into your material and going ahead here. Oh crap, I hate these mosquitoes going around. So your material, your tooth or whatever it is out there, and it's not being exposed to light, it's being exposed to cosmic rays and things like that. So it's crystalline material, and your bone also has crystals. And the main crystal is calcium phosphate, and the phosphate comes from phosphate is sort of like the basic battery of your life. It's sort of just like it. Your teeth are the a recycled molecular cell energy batteries put in a crystal, calcium phosphate. And so calcium phosphate is a crystalline structure. That's how it's strong and sharp and can break and decay and all that other stuff. And so it radiates out. You get your tooth. I finally found this Denisonian tooth or something. Something's really rare. All right, give it to me, mate. I've ground it up. And I grind up really, really small. And I can imagine a few things. You'd probably want to look at the structure of it and stuff like that. And then you put it in your EPR machine. So your EPR machine does nothing more than one of the things that has got me is that I can't see how it's a resonance. So what it does is it looks for colour centres and essentially crystal defects. So your crystal defects means that your crystal has a broken bond. The broken bond, it's got an unpaired, can have an unpaired electron with it. And with the unpaired electron, that's so a paired electron is a spin up, spin down, no spin. An unpaired electron is an electron sitting out by itself. It doesn't have a friend to pair with, and so you don't have a triple electron, but you have an unpaired electron, and you can actually scan for it. So you put it in a magnetic field, and you put very high frequency. Or depends. You want a strong magnetic field to create the electrons that are either aligned or anti-aligned with the electrons. So you just spin up, spin down, and you can get it to translate. So you've got an unpaired electron, and it can have spin up or spin down. It doesn't matter. It's by itself. It should be in energy, but that energy level splits in a strong magnetic field. So an electron has inside it an angular momentum and a internal current on paper. It doesn't actually physically move. It's only got the property or the shadow or the last remaining property on its formation. So it has a current, but not in not in a spatial universe that we're concerned about. So your electron can be big, it can be small, you can you can do whatever you want to electron. You can make it as small as possible. It does. If you've got an electron, it's not spinning. Because it can't spin because it's got no it's a fundamental particle. A fundamental particle can't physically spin in our universe. For it to spin, you'd have to mark a section of it. You have to put a little marker on and watch that marker go around. You have some method of doing it. You can detect it spinning from its processes that go on. So that electron has a Zeeman effect transition. That is, its magnetic moment. Its magnetic moment is the same terms as magnet. It's magnet. A magnet has a magnetic moment. A magnet has the magnetic moment is simply the energy. It's got energies per Tesla. It's the amount of energy required to flip that electron around physically, turn it around 180 degrees, or a bar magnet around 180 degrees. A electron doesn't flip the way that I would flip a a steak on a barbecue. I can flip the steak to do the other side. It can't do that because it is a fundamental particle. It can actually go through itself, or you can get other more complex things with say J is where you add I'm just going to really get my head around this. It's how you add the angular momentum, together, if they couple together. So S and L is the angular momentum of the electron in an orbital. Now, the electron doesn't orbit in an orbital. It sits there stationary, but it has its complex phase rippling around. And it's to do with its magnetic field. But you have this flip, this electron, can flip up and down if I put in radio waves or Mach waves into it, and I can get this electron to flip up and down. And as it flips up and down, it absorbs my energy. Now, this is just complete mayhem. I would not expect, like, a really small signal and so many things going on. It's a complete mayhem. So they've come up with something which is special. They look for phase changes in the phase reversal in your absorption signal as you modulate the magnetic field and sweep the magnetic field, modulating and sweep it across. Now, what happens is that if it's beginning to absorb, the absorption begins to increase and decrease. So you're changing the magnetic field. The absorption increases and decreases as you move it. Say you're moving it from 1 to 1.1 and you're getting to oscillate there. So if you've been going from 0.8 to 0.9, nothing happens. 0.9 to 0.1, nothing happens. 0.1 to 0.11, it starts to absorb a little bit, and you can see that the absorption will track your impulse field, so you can do that. Then, as you go from 0.1 to 0.2, it's the opposite we're doing. It will start at 0.1.1, it will be absorbing. At 1.2, it will be not absorbing, so it will have an anti-phase to it. So you look at the phase of absorption and measure the peaks there, and in general, you can pick out the color centers or anywhere where the thing isn't behaving well. So you can have a chemical reaction, freeze the chemical reaction down to liquid nitrogen. Or lower levels, you can freeze it, and you can actually check out if there's any ions or dislocations or damages. And it's you to do EPS. Now, its resonance, it's only the resonance there is not a resonance of the electron. It's a resonance of your machine. That's one of the horrible things going through. So that's an explanation of that particular phenomena, again from a quantum mechanical viewpoint. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.